My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Sport on The Hard Shoulder.
With Energia. From grassroots to greatness, we're proud to support Irish rugby. Energia. Think of the possibilities. See energia.ie/rugby.
Now, mention of the rugby there, we are going to be talking about that shortly after 6 o'clock. CJ Stander and Ian McKinley will be with me to look ahead to that game against Italy and the conclusion of the Six Nations. We might reflect on the tournament as a whole and where Ireland go from here, given the aging out of some players in the squad and the World Cup cycle really maybe after this point and certainly after the Lions really taking off. But anyway, like I said, that's a discussion for after 6 o'clock. In the meantime, Mick McCarthy is with me from Off the Ball to look ahead to everything else happening this weekend. Actually, we might look back very, very briefly. No joy for Galloping Deschamps.
No, didn't do the three in a row. It's the second time Willie Mullins has had a horse that didn't do the three in a row. And if anything was set up for it, he won the first four races today, Willie Mullins did, and went into, like, because as he does, he's 10 winners now in the festival altogether. It's unbelievable.
Amazing.
He goes into the last race, and Galloping Deschamps, like, probably doesn't start too well, but by the second last fence, you think, oh, he's in control here. But in fairness, Gavin Cromwell's horse, Mark Walsh, I know the way you're thinking, I'm going to get this name wrong, but I didn't, comes up, and brilliant win in the end. So it's great for, to be honest, it's one of those things where you want it to be an Irish trainer, but we do kind of want the independent lads like the Gavin Cromwells to kind of get the success as well, just for the underdog story.
JP still owns it.
JP owns it. Yeah, it's not that much of an underdog story. But, they had to pay $25,000 to get him in the race, actually, as a kind of a. But it was obviously an investment that was well worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, listen, great to see for them a no three-peat for Galloping Deschamps. What about the Players' Championship? We're looking at it here on our screen. So Rory McIlroy has just finished his round.
Yeah, and a decent round. And unfortunately, just as kind of happens sometimes, and you don't remember them on Fridays if you end up winning on the Sunday, but he just kind of staggered towards the end a little bit, a bogey on the last. So he's two shots off the lead at the moment. You would expect that will mean he'll probably be three or four half the field, haven't gone out yet for their second round. So he'll probably be there or thereabouts, I suppose, come the weekend, which is where you want to be. This is the Players' Championship at Sawgrass. People will, even going back, people my age will remember it from old Sega Mega Drive games, but always one of the, you know, the key events on the tour, the Island Hole on the 17th and so on. So one of those ones that we love watching at this time of year as we gear up for the golf season and the Masters in just a few weeks' time. So look, people will be watching out for Rory's form. Shane Lowry obviously had a decent week last week.
Yeah.
It didn't quite finish through, finished seventh, but he's in good form. Rory has started the season off pretty well. Everybody wants to know, is he going to be ready to go come Augusta in a couple of weeks?
There,
you know,
it is. Augusta.
Sorry, cliche alert.
But he had this altercation yesterday with a fan that turned out to be a kid who's on a college scholarship, a golf scholarship as well. So what happened there?
So as far as I know, and I haven't seen it too much other than just a little bit, is that like there was a, as golfers do tend sometimes just get annoyed with like photographs and noise and phones in their faces basically, and it distracted him from a shot and he went off, he took the phone off the kid, which, like, you know, he probably shouldn't have done, but again, sometimes that happens in the heat of the moment, and it was all apologies afterwards and all, but it's not always a great look, you know.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't. Anyway, somebody here, because I mentioned the three-peat in Galloping Deschamps, Colm says, when did we start using that term? It really bothers me. Please don't make it a thing.
You know, actually, it is a term that is it is copyrighted by
Pat Riley.
I wasn't getting the name there, from when he did it with the LA Lakers.
Pat Riley trademarked the term in 1988.
There you go.
According to Elon Musk's Grok 3.
When it looked like the Kansas City Chiefs were going to do the three Super Bowls in a row, apparently they were like, Riley was like making deals with them and all, how much he could get off them so they could use the word three-peat. So of course they lost the Super Bowl.
There you are, Colm. Don't blame us, blame Pat Riley. And he will sue us suitably now that he's heard us use the three-peat in connection to Galloping Deschamps. What else is happening this weekend then? League Cup final.
League Cup final, Liverpool and Newcastle. Newcastle haven't won a trophy since 1955. They get to Wembley a lot and tend not to perform when they get there. So all their fans are in their usual kind of like hyped up, ready for the long trip down to London. But Liverpool obviously lost to, knocked out the Champions League on penalties during the week to Paris Saint-Germain, losing at Anfield. Bit of a surprise to everybody how they bounce back. It's probably the last big thing they have in their season. Everybody would be absolutely shocked if they didn't win the league from the position they're in. Obviously, the Champions League dream is over. Not a bad way to bounce back by having the focus of a Wembley final on the Sunday afterwards. So you would think, there's certainly an expectation, I think, that Liverpool, who, you know, easily beat Newcastle a couple of weeks ago in the league, will probably have too much for them. But I think it would be one of those occasions that you might not look forward to all that much. But if Newcastle did it on the day, I think the scenes would actually be incredible. I think people would really enjoy them.
So Gaelic games this weekend, a lot of relief for Kilkenny. I can tell you that Cork did a job on Clare last weekend, because had Clare beat Cork, and sorry to bring this up,
they very much didn't.
Had Clare beat Cork, it meant that Kilkenny might have been looking down the barrel of relegation and would have possibly had to beat Limerick in Nolan Park.
Yeah, which is a remarkable thing. And I think maybe,
in other words, Limerick would have been going to Nolan Park. On, if we go in here now and hammer Kilkenny, we'll put them down in Division 2,
and
or wouldn't be.
Yeah, and that's the way Limerick would think as well, and they'd be happy to do it.
I think
it's probably a little bit of pressure off then this week, but I have to say, like, it's one of those games that I think Kilkenny will look to sort of see what level they're at, and I think it's a really important game for them because of that. It's obviously it's a rescheduled fixture, so it's the only hurling game on this weekend, and then they've only got one before the end of the league. So they're going into Leinster. This is their chance to measure themselves against one of the big teams, of basically probably looking at Limerick and Cork, the form that Clare are in at the moment. So they're going into the Leinster Championship. I think this is a game that Kilkenny will target. It's whether they're good enough to target it, I suppose, is the next question.
Yeah, Limerick looked great last Friday night, I have to say.
They did, yeah. And it's funny, they weren't great against Clare the week before. And it is strange with the league sometimes. You don't know what team is going to turn up. You don't know what games people are targeting. But Limerick did look like they were sort of back to close to their best.
They did, and I was just saying to you during the ad break there, I think they had 112 on the scoreboard before Aaron Gillan scored from play.
Yeah.
You know, most other counties, if they had, and I'm including Kilkenny in this at the moment, if they had a player of Aaron Gillan standard, they'd be expecting him to do 90% of their scoring.
100%,
To get 112, now he scored a couple of frees in that, but still, he didn't win all those frees. To have 112 on the scoreboard before he's
on the score sheet from play, it just shows what firepower they have.
Absolutely. And when you look at a bounce back season that people think might be coming up from Limerick, you look at their spread of scorers, and it's not the 2018 guys that are doing it all now. It's the younger guys that are coming through, the likes of Pat O'Neill, Adam English.
It's depressing, isn't it?
These guys, who are going to, put us all in our place for the next 10 years.
Oh, great. Anyway, anything else happening Gaelic games?
No, well, I suppose it's Kerry Armagh is probably the repeated last year's All-Ireland semi-final. Kerry, Armagh have had flashes this year, including their win against Dublin, that would suggest that they're raring to go for the championship. They're probably picking and choosing in the league, like we just talked about with the hurling teams. Kerry have struggled, I think. I think even some of their wins, like they had that miracle win against Derry, they'd be in a bit of trouble if they didn't have that. That was one where they got the 2 goals in 2 minutes at the end of the game. But I don't think they've played particularly well for the new rules. So Kerry fans, I think, will be watching with a little bit of agitation to see how they perform after a couple of weeks break against Armagh this week. If they fire on all cylinders, they're still going to be a very, very dangerous team in the summer, but they do need to kind of get their act together a little bit.
All right, Mick, listen, thanks many for that. Mick McCarthy from Off the Ball.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Jen's the mother of two teens. Her online shopping cart is always full of amps and auxiliary cables, so you might think she's funding her kids' garage band. But what you don't know is she's actually the one shredding on stage. With TransUnion's 360-degree view of consumer identity, you can get a clear picture of your marketing audience and reach people like Jen with messages that are more headbanger, less homebody. See how TransUnion is bringing clarity to marketing chaos through deeper insights, smarter reach, and precise measurement at transunion.com/clarity.